Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of April 21st, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest and prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. So, D.R., April 21st is nearly on top of a big day in the climate calendar, which is April 22nd, which happens to be Earth Day, but this year is also the March for Science, which is a nationwide effort. The biggest march, in quotation marks, will be down in D.C., but there are sister marches all around the country. There's one here in Boston. There's links to it. You can still get to either D.C. or the other marches. Tell me, D.R., what is the Science March about? Give me some background.
It's a long overdue pushback against the anti-science attitudes and policies coming out of not just the current presidential administration, but some of the anti-science attitudes coming out of Congress over the past few years. This attempt to gut research, this attempt to sort of scorn, you know, logic and evidence and knowledge, and this basically effort to say, you know, this has to stop, and if we don't have respect for science, then we won't respect anything in this society, basically.
Right. Well, I guess, I mean, for me, this raises a whole, it's an interesting question. So, of course, full disclosure, I consider myself a scientist. I studied physics for my whole life, so I'm pretty much into the scientific method, if you know what I mean. And I guess the deeper question, DR, and I'll pose it to you, of course, I think I have an answer, but let me pose it to you first. I mean, What is the root demand of something as extraordinary as scientists thinking they have to march in the streets? I mean, what do they want? I don't know if you're going to go, but I mean, if you were to go to this, why would you be going to a scientist march?
I think Aretha Franklin said it best 50 years ago. RESPECT. The fact that science and scientists and research and knowledge has been the target of such political and cultural scorn, and as manifested by the 45th president of the United States, is something that, again, has to stop. That, you know, we need research. We need investment in research. We need to recognize that, you know, science is what keeps us going.
Let me just take that as a starting point. For me, I think that the march is deeper than objecting to the scorn, as you say, but really it is objecting to the reason behind the scorn. That's to say, why does someone like Trump or Scott Pruitt or the climate deniers, what's their motivation, and what is their internal, and I'm sure it's all logical internally, what is their justification? And isn't that the thing that you're trying to fight? You're trying to push back against why, right? Because for my money, it's, you know, you can imagine that, you know, the scientist is saying one of two things. The scientist in the march is saying, do not ignore the facts. Do not ignore the science, right? But I think there's this other thing that says, don't discount the science. I mean, I could imagine somebody in the White House fully accepting that climate change is real, but not wanting to deal with it. So behind the scorn, so tell me, what hides behind the scorn?
Well, if you think about it, science has always posed a threat to certain special interests, whether they be financial interests, religious interests, military interests, you know. And when you have a society that disdains science,
let me interrupt you. What do you mean by science? So tell me, just to play devil's advocate, what is it?
I would say knowledge, just you know, physics, basic reality, basic, you know, the amount of knowledge that's developed over years of peer review and research
and pursuing
knowledge. When that is cast aside in a society in favor of special interests, that society will inevitably collapse. The people who are marching, in this march all across the country, they're literally trying to sort of maintain, we always hear about all these political figures talk about the institutions of America. Science is the institution of America, and if it's not maintained and defended, America goes down.
Well, and so I guess the definition of science I would put up is that, aside from the method, the scientific method of proving things, right? The whole idea, and I think to your point, DR, is that what we're talking about is a common set of agreed facts that mm-hmm. anyone can prove to themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have a lot of facts or a lot of knowledge without someone else being able to prove it. But the thing about mm-hmm. science is that it is something we hold in common, because anyone can prove to themselves that, I don't know, pick your favorite thing, gravity pulls downward, right? You mm-hmm. can do that experiment, right? We all accept mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
The thing about science is that it is accepted by the people who have studied it, whose job it is to be skeptical. And so mm-hmm. the idea that common bed of commonly agreed facts is challenged by these people is really, I think, the thing that is the pushback, is why mm-hmm. scientists are upset. Because if you can't accept the commonly agreed facts, then you're in another world, right? You're in
exactly.
You're in the 14th century. You're in the sleep of reason.
Well, sadly, you're also in 2017 with alternative facts, according to Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think that part of the issue is that there is no firm, there's no iron law that says humans will act rationally, right? And mm-hmm. and of course, given the scientific method and the age of reason and whatnot, you can look and see how people, what they do when there's an emotional driven sort of decisions made, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get hunting for witches, right? You get all mm-hmm. this bad stuff. And so I guess for my money, that's where the science march is pushing back, is that it's trying to reestablish the very notion of truth and commonly agreed facts, which mm-hmm. Trump is an example of, but not the only. I mean, if it was only Trump, it would be safe, right? Because he's going to
exactly.
die someday, right? But mm-hmm. it's this whole idea that is represented by a lot of people that they just don't need to accept those facts. Mm-hmm. I think, right?
And if you think about it, when I say this is long overdue, we're discussing this shortly after the news about Bill O'Reilly severing ties with Fox News. And to mm-hmm. think about it, his 21 years of promoting alternative facts, his 21 years of promoting a rejection of science, you can make an argument that it is fitting and so appropriate that this march is occurring right after the departure of O'Reilly from Fox News, because could this be the moment where, within the culture, facts and truth, as opposed to alternative facts and alternative truths, are reasserted in our culture?
But I would, again, I would argue that the reassertion of facts and truth have to come with the destruction or the exposing the worldview that allows a guy like Bill O'Reilly to not mm-hmm. speak the truth. I mean, that's mm-hmm. so instead of just saying, oh, you must accept, we all must accept science, which, of course, for me is a given, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, we need to destroy the reasoning behind your decision not to accept science. And I think that's mm-hmm. where it gets really murky, because is it simple self-interest, right? If you mm-hmm. take Bill O'Reilly, right? He's not a quite, I don't know if you classify him as a science denier, but I mean, he's mm-hmm. a guy who plays fast and loose with the truth, right? What's his justification? What worldview does he have mm-hmm. that allows him in good conscience to do what he's doing? Maybe he doesn't do it in good conscience, I don't know. But I mean, that's what I'm getting at. And like the tobacco industry people, were mm-hmm. they fully convinced that they were correct? Or were they just cynically knowing that they had to keep selling their product so that they could put their kid through Harvard and that was it?
They're pretty cynical, as has been revealed. But here's a reason, and this is a sort of a thumbnail sketch of why the society has to return to a respect for facts and science and knowledge. If you're having a heart attack, do you go to a doctor or do you go to a quack doctor or a faith healer?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a doctor, right? And I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but, you know, we've read about, if you remember those old stories about, you know, when Steve McQueen was dying and he went to alternative medicine, or when Andy Kaufman was dying and he went to alternative medicine. Alternative medicine didn't help them, did it? Perhaps relying on traditional medicine might have helped them a bit. Like I said, don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but it goes to the point of why you have to value real science as opposed to alternative science.
But, I mean, I have to tread very, very carefully, right? Because I don't really know all the details of Christian mm-hmm. science, the religion of Christian science, right? Mary Baker mm-hmm. Eddy that's a rejection of medicine, which is a rejection mm-hmm. of science, and it is religiously based, and it is, I mean, there was an article I'll put up somewhere, and not to beat up on any religious faith, but there was the biblical worldview in quotation marks, right, is mm-hmm. it's, I think, the justification for the denial mm-hmm. is self-preservation, right? So mm-hmm. if you are, again, I say things that, you know, again, not meaning to offend, but if you're in some sort of, say, you're a rural community in Appalachia and you're a snake handling and this is what gives your life meaning. No, but I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, this is, you know, that religion gives your life meaning, and scientific facts would make that meaning fall apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to fight the scientific facts, and you're just going to deny them. And it's, I guess, I mean, that's the kind of thing we're up against, writ large, or, I mean, you know, exacerbated by Fox News and whatnot. But that sort of tribalism and self-protection is the root of the denial of science. Is that crazy?
No, and the purpose of this march is to make people realize that if snake handlers, you know, reject real medicine, they'll come up snake eyes, so to speak.
Well, I mean, there's something else I want to touch on, but, you know, it's instructive, now that we're talking about it, to think back to the Charles Darwin. Right,
mm-hmm.
He published the his masterwork, whatever it is, the Evolution
Origin
of Species,
Origin
of Species, right, mm-hmm. in like 1845 or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huge pushback, right? So here again, so make the analogy between evolution and climate change, right? It's mm-hmm. scientifically based, lots of evidence, but people just don't believe it, and they fight mm-hmm. it because it threatens their worldview. And the question is, are you ever going to change those people's worldview, or do you just dominate them politically? And this comes back to the issue of, right, do you just have to get your people out and vote so that you control the levers of power?
I think the latter is true. And to that end, speaking of things that need to be pushed back, you know, if you read these reports, especially in the New York Times, there's another great piece in Mother Jones about the March for Science. You hear this thing that I just sort of boils my blood, this whole argument that this is somehow wrongheaded to do a march that somehow politicizes science. And I think David Roberts had a great piece in Vox where he basically made the point that, hey, science already has political implications. Science has always had political implications. And if people are attacking science for political purposes, those who are the targets of the attack have a right to fight back. When the bully is punching you, you don't just sit there and let the bully break your jaw. You push back against the bully and you hopefully knock the bully down.
I mean, I take your point, because scientists work very hard not to have biases, not to have emotional mm-hmm. built-in biases, right? But sometimes those facts put you into a political context, and I think it's possible to separate those out. And I mm-hmm. hate to drag up the same old story about Galileo, right? Because that gets mm-hmm. taken out of the formaldehyde every time there's a mm-hmm. discussion about this, right? But he made observations that were based in fact, but they were incredibly political, right? Mm-hmm. They challenged the very structure of the society, right? The Catholic mm-hmm. Church calling the shots. So even then, science was political. So to say it's not political is incorrect. At mm-hmm. least to say that the conclusions of science are very political. The mm-hmm. process of science should be strictly fact-based. And I think that's mm-hmm. where, you know, 99, 44, 100% of the scientists are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, so So, DR, look, this is a huge question. I hope that everyone who's listening, when they get to the Science March, will ask the person next to them what their opinion is of science and truth, because it's a huge philosophical question. And, of course, we can't answer it, and we probably have just muddied the waters more than anything else. But still in all, I find it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, DR, since we're in this kind of philosophical mood, let me throw another hand grenade at you and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I heard on the my commute home today a discussion from NPR, of course, about the French election, which, of course, is going to come up the 23rd, right, the day after mm-hmm. the Science March, Sunday the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the candidates in France is Marine Le Pen, who is calling basically for France to exit the euro, right? Stop using the euro, potentially pull out of the European Union, et cetera, et cetera. So what have you got? You've got the Brexit vote a year ago. You've got the catastrophe here in the United States with number 45 getting elected, all shocking, but representing a rejection of globalism, a rejection of, I don't know, human compassion. And now if we see France go in this direction, right, where they reject the common bonds between nations, I guess it's a ripe time to discuss whether or not what are the implications for fighting climate change of what appears to be this tide of nationalism around the world, right? Whether it's abetted by Mr. Putin or not, it appears to be real. And it seems to me, has real implications for climate change because addressing global warming is of course, a global issue that needs cooperation. But at the same time, I think you and I have argued for, localization of economies. Right? Mm-hmm. So if all of a sudden you pull yourself out of the EU and you have to have everything inside France, maybe from a green perspective, that's a good thing. I don't know. Right? And then just one last thing, Dio, you mix in all the refugees that are coming and you have a terrible situation. So tell me, what's the solution? What is the implication of anti-globalized nationalism for the future of climate work?
It's very interesting.
25 words or less, Dio.
Because, I think that all these sort of people who want to sort of shut themselves off from the rest of the world, want to erect barriers, walls, literal or rhetorical, against the rest of the world, they're going to realize that that's not going to work in the long run, and that we all have to sort of work together to address problems that affect all of us. Nationalism is going to be the first thing that goes underwater as the tides rise, because you can't have nationalism. There has to be internationalism, and sooner rather than later, these folks will figure it out.
I hope so. The alternate view, the more dystopian view, is that as the weather gets worse, everyone's just gonna be there's gonna be more infighting and more basically collapse and more localization until people are running around with Gibbs guy with blue on one half of his face and white on the other half of his face, Mel Gibson.
William Wallace, yes.
Yes. Anyway, well, look, we will see what happens in the French election. It's interesting, but these mega trends that we see, we ought to think about them in terms of climate change at some level, just so that we can try and dodge or take advantage of whatever's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dia, we will try and put up some links to what we talked about. Certainly a link to information on the March 22nd, the march on April 22nd. I expect to go down there. I hope I can collect some sound from people that are there. But you can check the links on the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using all kinds of things like Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, yada, 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 including Google Play if you have an Android. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So, D.R., thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.